anyone, the one you trust. Today's program is brought to you by Jensen Tractor Ranch, Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value, and United Rentals. Get ready to sharpen your shovels. And we want to welcome Kelly Banks Tree Service as one of our new sponsors. Thank you. Appreciate it. It is the Green Country Gardener Program, and our phone line is open at 1-800-749-5936. I'm Tom, and we've got our resident expert, Larry Glass. How you doing there, Larry?
Oh, fine, Tom. Good to see you.
And what? Yeah, it's raining.
Yay.
A little bit. Well, it was.
Yeah.
How's that affecting business, if I want to know?
Oh, it'll actually probably help it in the long run.
Good.
Because people can work the soil.
Work that dirt.
Yeah. Oh, and thank you all very much for the accurate forecast, because I got my yard mowed last night and got my fertilizer down. And I woke up this morning at 4 o'clock, hadn't rained yet. I go, oh, no. They goofed again.
Mm.
And a little bit thereafter, kaboom, here comes the lightning. Hey, it rained. Thank you.
It was a nice light show before it all got here. Just kind of watching it creeping in over the Osage.
So that was a good little storm we had.
Yep.
And I understand from looking at the graphics over there on that thing, there's we're not going to see the sun too much this week.
No, it's not going to be a very frequent visitor, I'm afraid.
It's good time to go to Mars.
Yep.
You got more sunshine in Mars than we have here.
Unfortunately.
Anyway, so people don't have to worry too much about watering their plants. That's a good thing. So, typically when you do get your plants in the ground, you water them in right away and water them only when they get a little bit on the dry side.
Yep.
So a lot of the plants we're having, a lot of the annuals, there's a big, big demand for annuals, perennials, and shrubs this year. And some of them, I notice when we're planting them, they're just not quite all the way rooted yet. They're cranking them out as fast as they can. The growers are, and we are too, golly. And we get availability listings from growers, all over the country. Mm-hmm. And they'll have like one.
One?
One plant of this
variety. Do you have any in stock? Yes.
And
how
we
many?
Got, we got one. Two of those. Yeah, I'm going to pay to ship one plant across the country. Huh. You got a color?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So... We're a little thin on some plant materials. We still have enough to really get some pretty things going. Plenty of begonias and periwinkles and patiens, lots of perennials. Oh, and the hardy hibiscus are up. Remember we talked about them last week?
The hardy hibiscus.
Yeah, we finally got some warm weather. And I think they grew like this much in four inches or so in an hour. They just popped out and grew up. And mine at home did the same thing. I have the hardy hibiscus plant. This will be its third year.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a really nice big clump of hardy hibiscus.
Oh, so, good. So good.
Can't wait for that to happen. Mm-hmm. We have a caller, do we still?
Yes, we do,
okay,
I believe.
Good.
Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on the air with the Green Country Gardener. Your question.
Good morning.
Hey.
The question I have is on my apple tree, it's put on a lot of extra growth. Is it okay to clip off all that small stuff?
Yes. Yeah, those are water sprouts that are close to the stem. Are they?
Okay. Yeah. They're all up and down the tree, of course.
Water sprouts are a sign of stress. So you might want to go ahead and, as you prune it back, perhaps fertilize it a little bit too. And you might apply something to control borers. Spinosad will work too. It's a topical application. Spinosad will do a lot to control borers. And the imidacloprid will be a systemic one. Typically, when you have a lot of water sprouts like that, the tree is under some kind of stress.
Okay.
So you might,
neem oil?
Neem oil will work very good for things like mites and aphids and fungus and all that.
But not borers?
Probably not. You really have to basically dunk the whole tree in a big vat of it for that to work. But if you can soak it down real good, you will have some good effect with the neem oil.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, sir.
All righty. Thank you for calling.
And you can be next up at 1-800-749-5936, Green Country Gardener Program.
Right. I had a lot of that on my plum trees a couple years ago.
The sprouts?
Yeah, water sprouts. Yeah, real bad. And then I noticed some of the bark was peeling off here and there. And I fertilized them. And I put some, actually used the neem oil, too. And the spinosad also.
Worked pretty well.
Sprayed the trunk with that. And now they're growing got lots of plums. All the old maids have fallen off. What's left of the good fruits, you know? So that, it's gonna. We're gonna have a. If you guys, you got a whole week of rain, thunder, and all that. If you can just stop the hail.
We'll see what we can do.
You give it a try.
We'll see what we can do. We'll put in a good word.
Should have a pretty good crop. But yeah, but I don't have that problem now that I've basically solved the problem with insect infestations and so on. So anyway, we're talking about annuals and perennials in the garden, and we do have a good selection of those. And the hard hibiscus is out right now. Mm-hmm. The peonies are done blooming for the most part. I have some at my house that are starting to bloom, and some are done blooming. Everything's just kind of crazy this year, but so we have
we had one that bloomed, another one is blooming.
Exactly. Yeah. They're a little bit late. Typically, they all bloom at once, then it rains, and they just explode all over the yard.
Yeah.
So that's what happened to one. I got little flower petals all around this morning.
Yeah, and that one had a celebration, yeah.
But this is the first year, I think, in 38 years that I've been at the nursery that we've sold out of peonies.
Wow.
Have none. So, anyway.
Add a peony to your name.
Exactly. Okay, anyway. I can say something, but I better not.
No, I'm going to get kicked as it is.
Another thing, the Nandinas in people's yards are recovering rather nicely.
Good.
I noticed my dwarf Nandinas really took a hit this last winter.
Ooh, so did ours.
And some of them look really good. Uh-huh. And some of them are still kind of just getting their feet wet, trying to come out. And they will for the most part. They'll be out just fine. So don't give up on them yet. Uh-huh. We need some good, warm, sunny weather for them to start to grow.
All right.
Okay, so.
Putting it down.
See that little knob on the left? Just turn it the other way.
Sunny? Maybe it says sunny? Yeah, we'll okay. Go to the phones here. Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on with the Green Country Gardener.
Good morning. I would like to know what causes this little green moss in so many of my flower pots.
Green moss. That's a symptomatic of constant moisture. In other words, a good steady supply of moisture. And you probably have pretty good soil, too. They like... moss will grow in fertile soil, but it grows in more of a kind of an anaerobic situation, if you will. And inadequate light would cause that too. So what you might want to do... Pardon?
Okay. Inadequate light?
They need more light. Or if you have a whole bunch of pots together, maybe separate them a little further to stop the moss growth. Okay. But typically, what kind of plants are in these pots?
Like the moss rose or rose moss and,
those are very drought-tolerant plants, very dry-tolerant plants, so you might want to let them dry out a little bit more between waterings. And if they're in a saucer, you'll take it out of the saucer and put some gravel in the saucer and let it elevate it above the water that sits in the saucer.
I do have... saucers under most all of my plants.
Yeah.
But I try to dump those out after rains.
Yeah.
I don't like them set in there.
Yeah. Moss is an indicator of a steady supply of moisture.
Okay. Can that just not let your plants come back up? Is it dangerous?
No, not really.
Will it fill out the plants?
No. No, it isn't. Okay. But yeah, some people find it unsightly. I think it looks kind of cool, really. I sort of like moss.
I really do, too. And if you see it just right, you can see that it's little tiny plants.
Yeah, those are the flowering parts of the moss, yeah. Those little,
yeah.
They have little kind of like eyes, I guess, if you want to come up. And those are the blooming parts of the moss plant.
Hmm. I kind of wondered about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, but my main thing was that I wanted to know if it was because I don't have a whole lot of stuff coming up in my pot this year.
It might be compacted soil also. Perhaps you might want to, before you plant new plants, you might want to either fortify or replace the existing potting soil.
Okay. Well, I tend to leave my pots with the soil in it from year to year. So that's probably a lot of my
I do that too, and I have to refresh it every once in a while. It washes out or it settles or critters take it. And so
You don't want to do that, put new soil in there, can you take that soil out?
Actually,
mix it with peat moss or something.
Yeah, if you take your existing soil and blend it with a really good quality potting soil, it'll fluff it up and air it out real good.
Okay.
We have a product called ProMix. It comes in a three cubic foot bag, and it's about $20. It's a whole bunch of potting soil too, but it's a really good deal. And we've been using that at the nursery for golly 30 some years, and it's been very good for us.
Okay, I'm probably going to forget that name.
Well, it's in a white bag by the east door, big old white bag.
White bag by the east door.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Is it like in a square bale type bag?
It's a big, a kind of flat, long bag, really. Okay. It's 22 inches long and 18 inches wide and about 6 inches thick.
Starts with an O, you said.
ProMix.
ProMix, P, okay.
ProMix, ProMix.
ProMix.
Okay, ProMix. Well,
when you open up the bag, you notice it's real light and fluffy, and that's really what you want to look for in a potting soil, this lightness and fluffiness, just so the air can get down to the roots.
But so much of the stuff that I think is supposed to be good, the Miracle-Gro, it has so many pieces of wood in it.
Right. That's what we call muck in the nursery business.
Muck?
Muck, yeah. Which is decomposed bark and stuff, and
but it doesn't go on and decompose.
No, it doesn't.
It's there for years.
Neither does the ProMix. It's very slow to decompose. I've had some in pots for 3 years, and it's still there. So.
Okay.
And it doesn't compact. You know, after a while, you get an anaerobic type soil if you have one that has a lot of bark and stuff in it. And it's somewhat anaerobic, and it does cause moss buildup and loss of root system. So you really want something that's going to be consistently lightweight.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll get the ProMix then.
All right.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after this two-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. If you got a weekend project coming up, you can pick this up on Friday. You got 3 days. Get your project done without being in any type of a hurry. Bring it back on Monday morning, one-day charge. It's a great deal at United Rentals. It doesn't put a lot of pressure on you to get the job done. You can kind of do it at your own pace, especially being homeowners. You only pay the one-day rental. You can give us a call at United Rentals, 918-333-9580.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Discount days are back. Every Wednesday, take 10% off regular priced items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowater Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Building healthy relationships is often a difficult, lifelong process, but you can find health and hope in just 1 minute. Focus on the Family Minute is sound marriage, parenting, and personal growth advice from today's leading experts, plus encouragement and insight from your favorite authors and Christian personalities. Focus on the Family Minute. It could change your day, your perspective, maybe even your life.
Brought to you by Grace Community Church, weekday mornings at 740 on 1400 K1.
Good morning. It is 823 Green Country Gardener program. Rolls along with your phone calls at 1-800-749-5936. I'm Tom. He's Larry. He got the brains.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, you do.
But anyway, now's a good time to fertilize that Bermuda and Zoysia grass. I did mine last night just before the rain hit. Felt really good this morning, like I said earlier. And should come up really, really well. Give you some good dark green color. And that's one thing you want to look at. You look at your grass, and is it really the color of green you want it to be?
No. Well, it's kind of inconsistent green. It's green there, greener over there, and not so green in that spot right now.
It's kind of yellow and lethargic looking. Yeah, it might need some nitrogen. I know for the most part we don't have too much of an issue with pH being too low in this area. If anything, it's probably a bit high in some cases. Anyway, that's usually not the determining factor as to why it is not turning green. It's lack of nitrogen. Yeah. So check out the color of your soil and see if it's the color you really want. And if you have put down nitrogen fertilizer, say a month ago, and you still have yellow grass, you might want to check your soil pH. You could be in an area where the soil pH is running a little bit on the low side.
Got it.
Especially if you live in an area that's typically populated in the past with oak trees and whatnot. Circle Mountain, Woodland Park are two good cases for that. I found pH as low as 5.5 in Woodland Park.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and as high as 8 point something in Sooner Park. So,
what do you do? Depends on where you park.
It depends on where you park, right. Yeah. But anyway, so there's some variability here in town because we do have some variable soil types also, depending on the parent material. Yeah, like for instance at my house, it's on limestone, but you go, you know, four blocks away, there's a gravelly sandstone outwash, and the pH is a little different over there than it is at my house. So all these factors have to be considered when choosing a fertilizer. So in other words, know your chemistry. Very important. Okay, cool. Anyway, I hope you don't have crabgrass in your yard.
You know, I thought I took care of it, and then it went away. It was gone, and now I've got these itty-bitty little crablets starting to pop up.
There you go. You didn't put down your pre-emergent when I told you to, did you?
No, I didn't.
Well, anyway, it's still not too late.
Either that or I missed a spot.
Yeah, perhaps. I did see one little crabgrass sprout in my house that I missed. I was mowing yesterday. Oh, no, one crabgrass.
Got to pluck it.
Went out.
Take it roots and all.
Pulled it out and threw it out in the street.
There you go.
But anyway, it's up right now. And it's a little bit late to put a pre-emergent down. There are some post-emergent controls for the crabgrass.
But doesn't that kind of give you yellow spotty grass?
It does, yeah.
Doggone it.
But however, it does require, it does recover nicely.
It does, okay.
Yeah, so it used to be MSMA was what we used to use, but now we're using quinclorac.
Okay.
And it, Q, is a simple word for it. Weed Out with Q is what we have, a product we have. You put it on the end of your hose, called Weed Out with Q, and it'll safely control everything but, say, Bermuda grass. But you can anticipate some setback on your Bermuda grass on the post-emergent grass killer. But it'll come back. So, anyway, a pre-emergence is the best way to do that, and you do that around St. Patrick's Day. And typically, I say let's do another application about this time in March or May, rather. But we've not had the significant amount of rain we have had in the past to dilute the pre-emergent. And also, it seems the awakening time of crabgrass is a little later this year.
Yeah, it is.
So we might want to do another pre-emergent application here. If you did it in St. Patrick's Day, that's what, March, something, April, May, and June, perhaps the middle of June, you might want to do another application.
Got it.
Just to augment what you've already done, which is basically diluted to the point where it's ineffective. So you put a little bit more down later on.
Got it.
And then in the fall, you want to do an application also of a pre-emergent to help keep that Poa annua out. Poa annua is a variety of bluegrass, and it doesn't do well in the heat.
New.
It's got seeds on it right now. Little whitish seeds are above these little green clumps of grass. So that's the Poa annua. And pretty soon Mother Nature's going to take its toll on that. It'll get hot and it'll die out anyway. So you can prevent that from coming out by doing a pre-emergent application in September.
Got it.
You know all that, don't
you?
You do now.
Taking mental notes right now.
We'll be checking up on your yard. So anyway,
there's a lot to check
as
up
far
on.
As the lawnmower is concerned, it's time to raise the level up on your fescue grass, almost to the point where it's way up. You got training wheels on it. It's going to get hot real soon. I think after all this rains out, it'll probably start to get up in the 80s.
About mid next week, we'll start to see a Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Popping.
Mm-hmm. And then it'll get into the 90s here at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be like 100 and some degrees for 3 or 4 months. And then we'll say, oh, I wish I want that cold back.
No.
So you want to have your grass prepared for that. And right now you want to slow down on the fertilization of the fescue grass. You don't want a lot of rapid growth on your fescue grass at this time of the year.
Yeah.
Mainly because as it gets consistently warmer, it's going to stop growing so much. It goes into what we call summer dormancy.
Got it.
And you want the grass to be fairly tall and fairly broadleaf at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Then it should survive the winter. Okay. Be very careful, though, not to keep the ground consistently moist on your fescue grass, because it will be susceptible to rot, phytophthora, and so on. You know all about that.
Well, you keep saying some of these plants don't like wet feet. That would be one of them.
That'll be one of them, and you do want your fescue grass to dry out between waterings, and I know that will not be the case this week.
No.
But on a typical situation here, you do want to have a time span between the waterings.
Get ready for June.
Yeah, because you don't want the ground to be consistently warm, because what really likes that consistent warm warm and moist condition, of course, are fungus and things.
Ugh.
So,
don't like that.
No, so you don't want that typical dead fescue grass in the summertime. So by keeping it tall and mowing it fairly frequently, keeping the mower blade sharp,
uh-huh,
and letting it dry out between waterings, you'll have some really nice looking fescue grass.
Very good.
Okay.
All righty, let's take a quick break. We'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
With summer coming on, that means home painting projects. Peters True Value in Dewey has Easy Care 365 interior and exterior paint primer for $28.99 and up per gallon. Get Easy Care Woodsman exterior stain for natural or pre-treated wood for $41.99 and up per gallon. A gallon of Easy Care Platinum interior and exterior paint primer is $45.99 and up. And Peters has Easy Care Ultra Premium exterior and interior paint primer for $37.99 and up per gallon. Painting just got easier at Peters True Value in Dewey.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny
skyscraper.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis. Phone lines open at 1-800-749-5936. Lawrence.
Hey, at the nursery, we have a lot of crepe myrtles right now. And actually some tree-form crepe myrtles. They finally shipped us some. They don't want to send them out dormant, considering the weather we've had.
No.
And like I said earlier, the hardy hibiscus are growing quickly. We got some knockout roses. And we have a new one, a compact knockout rose.
A compact one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks like a little bouquet.
How nice.
It's so cool. It's the coolest looking little rose I've ever seen. So it has an extraordinarily dark leaf on it.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, a red bloom on it. And
bright
a,
red.
It's a double
It'll
bloom.
Knock
and
you
they're
out.
Small. They're about inch and a half across.
Mm-hmm.
And they're real tight form buds. And they look like just a little bouquet.
I'll be darned.
They're kind of cool. And drift roses, we'll have some of those. They're pretty cool, too. Easy to grow. Hanging baskets, lots of hanging baskets. Uh-huh. Those are very popular. Just instant show. Just
there you go.
Okay, and got annuals, perennials, lots of tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
The tomatoes, I guess, are finally going to start to turn green pretty soon. After the cold, they're kind of purple.
They could be doing better.
And some spruce trees, the dwarf Alberta spruce. We have some of those. Uh-huh. Remember, they like good drainage. Keep them away from the western side of the house. Mm-hmm. And some sky pencil Japanese holly. It's a narrow, upright, what we'd all like to look like. people put them at the corner of their house or by the front door, these narrow, upright growing plants. Mm-hmm. Good architectural accents.
Yeah.
Really nice. A sky pencil is one you don't have to prune because by nature, it's interesting how it grows, just straight up,
uh-huh.
very narrow. The Taylor juniper is another one that grows straight up and narrow. But anyway, it's interesting how they could do that to these poor plants. we also have a soft touch holly, which is another type of Japanese holly. Now, say a Japanese holly, they do fine, but they don't like high pH soil. So you might want to get some iron sulfate or something mm-hmm. when you get them to keep that pH down mm-hmm. around your hollies because they hover a little bit below the neutral point, maybe 6 pH for the Japanese hollies for them to do real well. So slightly acid, so a little iron sulfate will help deepen the color. And you can tell the pH is getting too high. Azaleas exhibit the same thing. The leaves get smaller.
Uh-huh.
And they get closer together, they get mm-hmm. smaller, and they turn a little bit yellow here and there too. And that's when your pH is a little too high on holly species.
Got it.
Specifically the Japanese holly, the Nelliar Stevens holly, etc. Now the Nelliar, I find it can tolerate more variation in the pH, and Yopon holly can grow, you know, in baking soda almost, but but they don't all share that same attribute. And the Japanese holly is one that does not share that attribute, and it's real easy to burn Japanese hollies too with too much fertilizer.
Got it.
And too much water.
Don't want to do it.
So just kind of plant it and ignore it a little bit, and it'll do fine.
It'll be fine.
Do fine.
It's an independent study plant. It's going to go on independent.
But
study.
If you were to go ahead, if you want some soft touch hollies, get a little bit of peat moss and plant it with them,
mm-hmm.
they'll do much better.
Good.
Because peat moss has a resident pH of 5.5, and that'll get it down to where it really needs to be. Okay. We have lots of perennials right now. The hostas are doing coming up and doing quite well. Put some coarse sand or sawdust around them to keep the slugs away. The slugs kind of like them a little bit. Chow, yum.
Yeah.
And heuchera, too, is another plant that does well in the shade. It's kind of a maple sort of leaf.
Mm-hmm.
Small, about half of a basketball size mm-hmm. maximum. Perennial with colored leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Purple leaves, red leaves, yellow, and lime green colored leaves, and variations in between. And they're a very reliable perennial, very hardy, very insect resistant.
Mm-hmm.
They're one of the first ones to come up in the spring and one of the last ones to leave in the fall. And they have a secondary attribute of some blooms on them, mm-hmm. which aren't overly significant, but really they are kind of showy when they do bloom. And it's we've actually planted heuchera in some difficult situations, shallow roots or around mm-hmm. hackberry trees.
Jesus.
Yeah, stuff like that. So anyway, they seem to survive really well. They have a breaking point, though, and they look really good, and then they get small, then they just quickly kind of die out if they're not happy, if mm-hmm. you will. So you might want to prep the soil real well before you plant them, just so they'll have something in which to grow and they'll last around your hackberries and shallow-rooted trees. They'll last a few years at least.
Give them a little bit of it.
But I really haven't seen any animals chewing on the heuchera plants. They don't seem to like them that much. There's one house we planted some dogwoods and things, and the deer just feast on it.
great.
And we had to plant new ones all the time. And, but they don't touch these plants, so.
Good.
Yeah, well, anyway. So that's some perennials. We've got lots of other perennials, too, to choose. So some of them just simply aren't ready yet because of the cold weather. Okay, so cool. Tree of the week, the Platanus occidentalis is sycamore tree. It's kind of the tree of the week. Mm-hmm. And it's a big kind of sort of native growing tree. It grows naturally in lowland areas. Mm-hmm. And it has kind of shallow roots. And people are attracted by its rapid growth and interesting bark. Just have that attribute too. Mm-hmm. The bark is kind of interesting. It's characterized by a zigzag zigzag stems. Mm-hmm. In other words, the stems grow this way and that way. They straighten up with age, but they kind of grow crooked.
All
like
yeah. Kind of do what they want to do.
And it's very thin camouflage-like bark.
Uh-huh.
So you find these, you can really see them in the wintertime because they really show out amongst the oaks and other trees in the flooded areas by the very light color and mottled bark, if you will. But they're a good tree, say, off in the distance, because they're messy.
Yeah.
They're very susceptible to anthracnose, which really doesn't hurt it. It seems to do okay otherwise. Anthracnose or leaf anthracnose is a disease that happens when we have a lot of warm, moist air in the spring. It happens to maple trees. It causes the leaves to distort and look kind of cup-shaped and a little crispy around the edge and distinctively smaller than normal. Well, this tree, I think this tree invented anthracnose.
They use it in the diagrams all the time. This is what it looks like.
This is what it looks like, yeah. It's a cup-shaped, distorted, wrinkly-edged leaves. And they eventually, when it gets hot, they'll just fall to the ground. And we get phone calls and say, well, my sycamore tree is dying. And I said, no, that's just the anthracnose affected leaves that are falling down. Maples have the same problem, but I haven't seen it this year. It's been too cool for that to happen so far this year. So the maple leaves look pristine this year. We don't have the anthracnose problem we've had in the past. Last year and 2 years ago, it was just horrible. I don't know how many calls I made looking at people's maple trees and say, that's just anthracnose. They go, oh, that sounds terrible. It's just a fungal leaf disease that you get when it's humid and warm like that. But no problems this year. So.
Yeah.
The leaves are going to mature enough to where when the heat hits, I don't think
we'll
have much of a problem with it. Yeah. And really, I don't see it on the sycamore trees yet this year either. Mm-hmm. But the sycamore trees tend to have some shallow roots on them, too. Mm-hmm. A good thing about it is they're easy to cut. So, but anyway, lace bugs and falling twigs and falling leaves. So anyway, this one should be kind of away from the house somewhere. If you got a big property and you want a fairly large tree off away somewhere, it'll do just fine. Yeah. But definitely would not put it near the pool.
No.
Because of the litter and also because of the roots get into your plumbing and all that.
Don't watch out
around your septic system and all that. Oops. Keep it away from that too. And they'll do okay. So, a sycamore tree.
Sycamore
tree. Reason why they call it sycamore.
Oh, yeah, because mostly more sick.
They do have a...
I grew up in Indiana. They're all over the place.
Yeah, I know. They're everywhere. And actually, I've seen them used as street trees in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. I guess it's because their root system really isn't strong enough to bust up concrete. Mm-hmm. So they sort of grow out over it and all that. But they're a tough, hardy tree. And they're a little bit messy.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a pretty tree, I think, in the landscape. But kind of far away. Okay. Our annual of the week is the Madagascar periwinkle, the Catharensis roseus, which is the common periwinkle. And it likes the heat, and it likes dry weather. Need we say more. Absolute full sun and well-drained soil. Mm-hmm. This one typically isn't available till the middle of this month, and they're available right now. We have some in several colors.
It just happens to be the middle of this month.
Right, we have a Titan mix.
Okay.
Titan mix.
Okay.
And it's varying colors from a reddish, kind of a raspberry red color to a pink to a white with a spot in the middle. It's, and they're really quite attractive. They kind of make bubbles in the landscape, but the different colors, it's kind of cool. But anyway, the periwinkle is one of the most popular annuals we have here because of the disease resistance and the pest resistance and the drought tolerance and the fact that it does well in a lot of sun, something which we have as the summer progresses.
Oh, yes, we do. We have a lot of sun. Let's go to the phones real quick here. Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. Your call, your question.
Yes, good morning. I had a question on the million bells. Do they bloom all summer, and do they take lots of water?
They bloom all summer. The million bells is actually a form of petunia, and they don't really take a lot of water. No, they like a well-drained situation. In fact, I've seen some doing growing in the planter boxes downtown, even with the broken sprinkler system, doing just very well.
They're just an annual, correct?
Yeah, they're an annual, right?
Mm-hmm. But and I don't need fertilizer, just to keep them, let them dry out a little occasionally.
Yeah, fertilizer will enhance their blooms a little bit. If you use a blooming type fertilizer, maybe a tomato fertilizer or a tulip fertilizer will help them bloom. But they do like to dry out between waterings, and they can tolerate a significant amount of drought.
Lots of sun.
Lots and lots of sun.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you for calling.
We're going to have to take a break. I wasn't paying attention. I was too much into the content here. So we have to take a little bit of a break. We'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Discount days are back. Every Wednesday, take 10% off regular priced items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
Every year, millions of Americans use opioids to manage pain. Pain can be unrelenting, overwhelming, and all-consuming. So why do so many of us try to manage pain only from the palm of our hands? Doctor-prescribed opioids are appropriate in some cases, but they just mask the pain. And reliance on opioids has led to the worst drug crisis in American history. That's why the CDC recommends safer alternatives, like physical therapy, to manage pain. Physical therapists treat pain through movement, hands-on care, and patient education. No warning labels required. And by increasing physical activity, you can also reduce your risk of other chronic diseases. Pain is personal, but treating pain takes teamwork. When it comes to your health, you have a choice. Choose more movement and better health. Choose physical therapy. Visit moveforwardpt.com to find a physical therapist in your area. This message is brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
What if the music stopped? If the familiar voices were silenced? If there were no breaking news updates? What if your companion and connection to your community came with a monthly fee? Don't worry, we're free local radio with you wherever you go. Celebrating 100 years and looking forward to the next 100. We are broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on your local TV and radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Doggies, we are back with the Green Country Gardener program. It is 8:46, and our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. Larry.
Yeah, cool. We've got the Madagascar. Madagascar periwinkles. We have a million bells, and you also have several geraniums. We're about out of the pelargonium geraniums. Ooh. The real geraniums with the red flowers, those are actually the pelargoniums. They're not really geraniums.
Okay.
But we do have some true geraniums, the scented geraniums. They're a true geranium. But, okay, so anyway, we have some of those too, all kinds of flavor. In amongst the herbs, they have those. And you kind of rub the leaves and smell it. It sounds pretty cool. We also have what we call a popcorn plant.
A popcorn plant,
which is pretty cool. Some people are offended by the smell. Some people love it. It's kind of like cilantro. You know, the wife and I, we both think cilantro tastes like dish soap.
Uh-huh.
Some people just love it.
You know? It's one of those things.
It's kind of the same thing with this one. You rub the leaves, and we have some outside. I don't know if we still do, but we had some Friday. and you smell it, and it smells just like movie theater popcorn.
Oh, boy.
This is a member of the legume family, and they grow about 4 feet tall, and they have the yellow flowers on them. They're kind of nice, different tropical-looking kind of thing.
Cool.
And the novelty of having a popcorn smell on it.
Now, these like a big light, you put them on the west side of the house? Or?
Yeah, like well-drained, good light, yeah. All I was with a customer, and we're walking around. I said, rub your leaves, your handling leaves, and sniff it. She did. That's pretty cool.
So, we're going to see Titanic again.
Sold. But anyway, it's kind of a novelty, and they're kind of fun, too. So anyway.
You know who might like those?
Hmm.
The fellow who's making the movie over here.
Really?
Martin Scorsese. You ought to send him some. Hey, Marty, try this.
Try this, yeah. It's just an instant theater popcorn.
Just
rub your leaves, and it'd be kind of fun.
Put you in the mood.
So those are...
I'll take a flat of those for Mr. Scorsese, please.
So when it comes to roses, good time to plant right now. You want to locate your roses in an open location.
Yep.
Kind of keep them away from the house. If you do put them close to the house, put them on the east side of the house. You get that first light. And that dries out the leaves. Gets the dew off the leaves real quick. And you tend to have less problems with them. So on the east side of the house. And then they're shielded from the hot afternoon sun. So they tend to do real well on, say, on the east side of the house. So, and they do prefer a well-drained soil, and we always plant them, prepare the soil deeply with the compost when we plant them.
Got it.
They do it real well. Fertilize them on a regular basis, too. And we have, like I said, those little knockout roses, little compact knockouts, and all some others, other varieties here and there, drift roses and so on.
Bye-bye. I took your advice last year. Thanksgiving. Rose.
Cut your knockouts back, yeah.
Yeah, and you know that stuff that made them all grow crooked and whatever? It's gone.
I noticed that this year. Yeah. They're coming back nicely. I haven't seen any case at all of rosette's disease so far on the roses. So
now we took the you know, 16 cylinder hedge clippers I borrowed from Kevin. And gave it a haircut about yay.
Yeah.
And then just prayed for the best. And boy, golly, they look nice now.
It's a wonder the fire department didn't come over with all the black smoke from that thing.
Oh, boy. Anyway. We were going to town.
Anyway, roses in our heavy soil, they sort of like a raised bed, if you will.
Yeah.
So if you had an area that's elevated some so they don't kind of sit in water, they do real well. So frequent fertilizing is pretty good, too. Not a whole lot, but just a constant feed of fertilizer, not a feast or famine kind of thing, sort of a steady flow of fertilizer, and good open, you know, air. They do like a lot of air movement around. They don't get black spotted easily that way. And also keep them trimmed out a little bit now and then, your roses, so they'll stay healthy and all that. Don't let them get rosy. Too leggy. Yeah, rosy, if you will. Keep in mind, though, that a lot of the roses don't do a whole lot here when it gets hot. And as soon as the heat's over, say in August, it's time to really cut them back a little bit. And they'll snap again and have a good show in the fall and even a better show in the spring if they were to cut back. If they were to be cut back late in late in summer like that.
Got it.
We got a convoy going by here. Truckloads of gravel. My goodness. What is all this? This is the fifth one that's gone by. Jeez.
And yeah, they
that's
didn't
a big
even
load
stop.
Of gravel somewhere.
They didn't even stop at the stop sign. All five of them just.
is there a leak somewhere? They got.
I don't know.
On Saturday morning,
pretty
strange,
urgent call there. For the folks at home, we do have this great big window, huge that takes a look at one of the main thoroughfares in Bartlesville. We'll tell you what, we need to get this in. We will be right back after this 2:15 time out.
From the time Frank Phillips completed his magnificent lodge home at Willow Rock in 1925 until Jane's death in 1948, they entertained the rich and the famous from all over the world. Their guests included wealthy business legends such as John D. Rockefeller and Henry Sinclair, politicians such as President Harry Truman and President Herbert Hoover, entertainers Rudy Vallee, Will Rogers and Rubinoff, famous authors such as Edna Ferber, pilot Wiley Post, Elliot Roosevelt, son of President Roosevelt. The list goes on and on. As we look back on the parties and the stories and the deals that were being done at the Lodge, we realize that it truly was the Great Gatsby of the Midwest. To most of Frank's guests who were visiting from the East or West Coast, and many times from Europe, they were truly seeing a glimpse of the Wild West that they had heard so much about. While in fact that era was long over by then, Frank Phillips loved the history and wanted to do everything he could to make sure that his guests received their money's worth during their visit to his lodge and to Willow Rock. With that in mind, it was not unusual for a carload of his guests to arrive at the gates of Willow Rock in their large black sedans and be stopped by masked bandits on horseback, taken from their cars and robbed of their wallets, jewelry, and purses, and then sent on their way by the thieves. What those guests didn't realize is that these were employees of Frank's who hurried back to the lodge on horseback, arriving well ahead of the cars. When the guests arrived at the lodge and burst into the house, telling their wild and terrifying story to Frank, he would smile and point to the table in the living room where the stolen loot was on display, compliments of Uncle Frank. Once their blood pressure had returned to normal, they too enjoyed Frank's welcome to the ranch joke. They came to see the Wild West, and Frank Phillips obliged in true Oklahoma fashion. And they left Willow Rock with stories that likely got bigger and bigger and bigger over the years. That same magic continues still today at this national treasure. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
And welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program, 855. I'm Tom, he's Larry Glass, our resident expert, and you are who you are, or say you are, at 1-800-749-5936. That's our contact point.
Right. At this point in time, your crepe myrtles should have emerged as far as they're going to emerge for the year. And people say, well, what do I do with them? Mm-hmm. Well, typically, crepe myrtles here are grown as shrubs. And we try to get away with them growing as tree-form crepe myrtles. But that's not always the case. And this year is a good example. I had one in front of my house. It's like, well, I just cut it down the other day. Took the loppers and put the tops off. I'll grind them up and put them back down as mulch. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there'll be shrubs again after this cold spell. So there's not
much. All over again.
Yeah, some of them have come up from above, too. It depends on the situation, the exposure, and the moisture content of the soil at the time, et cetera, as to how far down they froze back. Mm-hmm. Now, typically, we had to do some rewiring of our phone system at the nursery, and we dug a trench while it was frozen. And we went down 12 inches before we got done with the ice. Yeah. Mm. Of course, who buries a phone line 12 inches deep anyway? I mean, most of the time they're on the surface. But anyway, we got it down good and deep like that. And golly, that was tough digging in that frozen ground.
Wow. I can only imagine.
Yeah, but anyway, I got through it.
He had a sharp shovel.
A sharp shovel, you bet. Anyway, on the crepe myrtles, all you can do at this point is just cut off the dead twigs and let it come back.
All right. Let's go to the telephones here. Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on the Green Country Gardener Program. Your question.
Yes, I have a question. I have dwarf crepe myrtles in flower beds, but the Bermuda jumped the barrier.
Uh-oh.
And so what am I going to do? Am I going to dig up the crepe myrtles, kill the Bermuda, and then a couple of weeks plant them back, or what am I
going to
do?
Well, actually, there is an herbicide which is selective to grasses. You can spray it on your crepe myrtles, and it won't hurt them, but it selectively kills off grass species.
Okay. You have it at your shop?
Yep, it's called Grass Killer.
Okay. It's called what?
Grass Killer.
Okay. Simply
put, yes.
Out.
You don't want to use Roundup in the same county as your crepe myrtles?
Yes. I knew that.
Yeah,
I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I was going to have to dig up my crepe myrtles and then
Two factors for the grass killer to work. Number one, the Bermuda grass has to be actively growing. And we should have some degree of temperature and some sunny weather. And that's not going to happen this week. So, but anyway.
It's not going to happen this week?
No, it's going to be a little cool. I'm a little concerned about the temperature going to be too cool and not enough sunshine for the Bermuda grass to be really actively growing.
Okay, I also have some Bermuda. In these flower beds, there's a large crepe myrtle, and then I have a bunch of those beautiful flowers that grow yellow. No. Daffodils?
Yeah, daffodils, yes. Uh-huh.
And they're in the Bermudas, jumped the barrier and got in there with them.
Right. Yeah, it'll have no effect on the jonquils either, or the daffodils. It won't affect them either. It affects.
Oh, I'm so glad I called.
Yeah.
I'm getting too old to do a lot of flower bed and stuff, but
right.
I'll be 77 next week. So.
My goodness. Along with this grass killer, you want to make sure you get a spreader sticker also. It helps.
What?
A spreader sticker. You can't mix it with the chemical because it deteriorates the chemical. So you have to use a spreader sticker separately than the grass killer. Boy, that was an onomatopoeia if you ever heard one.
Yeah.
Anyway, and what that does is it helps it stick to the leaves. In other words, sometimes grasses have little tiny hairs, and it'll actually repel the herbicide. So use a spreader sticker.
Okay.
Yep, and
put it out there on the counter, and I'll be out there today sometime.
Okay, all right. Anyway, while you're doing that, be sure to keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
Are you getting married? Get the gift of life insurance. Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville.